who has his own Instagram account. So please join me in welcoming Renee.
Can you guys hear me? Am I on? Okay, great. Well, I'm really excited to be here today. I published a book called Forgiving Others, Forgiving Me last year, and Solana Beach Mobs is actually the first to ask me to speak on forgiveness. So I want to let you know that this is a topic I'm still learning, and I think it was by God's grace that when it released last year that he kind of protected me and gave me some extra space, because forgiving myself has been a lifelong journey for me, and I actually have been trying to get this book published for the past 10 years. So the fact that it's out and that I get to speak to you all today is very humbling, actually, and really exciting. So let me just do a quick word of prayer, and then I'll get started. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for a deeper topic and something that really is just on my heart, and I pray that whatever I speak will just be really encouraging and insightful to those who are still struggling with forgiving others or forgiving themselves. Amen. Is there a little bit of reverb? Am I too loud, or is it back there? It's back there? Sure, if that's better. I don't want there to be any distraction. Here we go. Alrighty. So the first thing that I want to share on the topic of forgiveness, I have some down here, is overcoming is possible. And when you're going through something that is affecting with family members or close friends or someone that you can't just no longer be friends with because you're extremely upset about them, with them, I want you to know that overcoming is possible. And something that I wrote in my book that I really believe in is there is freedom from your past hurts, present circumstances, and future fears. So I'm going to kind of break this talk down into three sections. So past hurts, present circumstances, and future fears. And forgiveness is the key. So I should have brought like a key. Oh, wait, I have car keys with minions on them. And Marvin the Martian. And I don't have kids yet. I like to be a kid. So forgiveness is key. And a question I just kind of want to start with is, how come you and I have such a hard time letting go? If forgiveness is key, how come it isn't just easy to just ask God or ask someone for forgiveness or even forgive yourselves? And something I also struggled with in writing this book is you can only control how you react and respond. And we have this idea that forgiveness takes two people, technically, but it actually only takes one, and that's you. It's really hard sometimes to take responsibility for something that's 1%, okay, maybe 5% your fault, when, you know, the other person, it's 95. But whatever it is, whatever percentage it is, I just want you to focus on today that if you can take even responsibility for your 1% or your 5%, you'll be a lot happier. And this is something that I've been living over and over again. And I can definitely testify that even when it's not technically your fault, like when a coworker tried to force himself on me, that's not my fault. I've definitely struggled with forgiving him, and it's taken many years, but it's something that I had to let go of because it just continued. And so I kind of want to get to my story where when I was 15, I'll kind of go back that far, I struggle with eczema. And I actually lost the skin off my face and my feet and ended up in the hospital at Rady Children's Hospital. And the doctors kind of would take pictures and be like, yeah, you're kind of one of those cases. We don't know why it acted that way. Eczema's not really supposed to do that. And so that was kind of my journey with discovering who God was, because I realized, okay, if medicine isn't quite working for me, you know, they gave me prednisone. I ballooned to 250 in 10 months. I gained 100 pounds in 10 months. So not only was I a teenager thinking, no man will ever love me, my health is completely destroyed, and I struggle with forgiving myself now because I'm ugly, I'm horrid, why should I even be on this earth? And it didn't help that I also have diagnosed anxiety. And so basically ever since I was 15 years old, I just started having these daily conversations with God. God, if you love me, will you please heal me? God, if you love me, can you help me to forgive myself? I don't know how I got into this situation. I don't know why my eczema is out of control. I don't understand. Please help me to understand. And so I actually originally wanted to write this as just forgiving me, because I really struggle with just my own health, my own journey with God. But as I got older, so that's like my past hurts. And it took about 6 years for my skin to heal, and it's by God's grace I can wear makeup, I can wear shoes. So it was like God healed me, but it took a really long time. So I don't know if you're one of those people that's like, because I love God, he's going to heal me tomorrow, and I'm never going to have any problems, and Christians are perfect. Actually, that's not how it happened for me, but sometimes God heals people instantly. And so presently, when I started struggling with forgiving other people was, like I said earlier, when that coworker and I, you know, he was new, and he asked me if I wanted to grab a drink after work, and I was really naive. I said, sure, why not? And it just went horribly wrong. And we were driving in my car back to his car. And he, yeah, it was just one of those situations that changed my life forever. And it was really frustrating, because suddenly I had been practicing for a really long time on talking with God. Okay, I'm going to forgive myself. This isn't something that I can control. Okay, God and I are talking. But now that it involves another human being, and of course, he was the only coworker I could see from my desk. And so God used that situation to show me, well, maybe you should write about it. And I was actually going to college to be a high school math teacher. So sometimes God will say, hey, maybe you should be a writer. And you're like, no, I really want to teach math. So of course I fought and God won. And I've been writing for 5 years and I've published 6 books and I don't even care about math anymore. So go figure. So that was one experience with forgiving other people. And then another one, I'll give you 2 examples from my book. So okay, when you forgive someone or ask someone for your forgiveness, if you do everything right, they'll accept your forgiveness, right? No. Okay, so this person and I got into an argument, and she worked on staff at the church that I was going to. So that made it awesome, right? No. And I brought flowers to the church. Like, I tried to go to the pastor. I tried to do everything to get her to tell me what I did. I was really concerned. I'm like, if I really hurt you that bad enough for you to block me on Facebook. Oh, but before she did that, she sent me a really nasty message saying that God won't use my books. I'm a horrible person. I mean, she just went on and on and on. And I'm like, wow, I must have really done something. And I couldn't really think of in my head what I had done. I know it involved a boy, but obviously it always involves a boy. So this was a couple years ago. And I was reading, oh yes, I wanted to read from Matthew, just because this passage, this was when God really started to show me that forgiveness isn't just about myself. It isn't just about forgiving myself. So this is from Matthew 5, 23 and 24. And it says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and follow me. Or then offer your gift. I, for some reason, you know, Renee's translation thought it meant have them come to you and ask for your forgiveness. Oops. No, I'm supposed to leave and go extend my forgiveness. And so I did what any normal person would do. I tried to call her. She didn't take my calls. I couldn't send her a message on Facebook. I sent her an email. She never responded. And when I asked my pastor to get involved, he said, well, it's kind of a personal thing between you guys. I don't really want to get involved. And so that's when I just brought flowers, a white dozen roses, and said, please forgive me. I'm really sorry. I would really like to at least know what I did so that I can apologize. To this day, she has never talked to me and let me know what I did. And so that's one, and I don't even know. That was years ago, but I still don't even know to this day what I did. And in my mind, I was trying to be obedient. I was like, okay, I don't really remember this verse, but I'll do my best. I'll go out of my way, even though she's upset at me. I don't know what I did. And another example where I did everything wrong. Okay, so question. If you do everything wrong in forgiveness, you'll never be able to get forgiveness from that person, right? Okay, so this person and I had a conflict, and I did what I've never really done before. And when she called me to talk to me, and I was really upset with her, I cussed her out on the phone. I was so mad. My heart was racing. And after that phone call, I realized, oh my gosh, I should not have done that. That was terrible of me. Why did I do that? But in my heart, I didn't want to be friends with her. You know when a friendship, like, you really don't want to be friends with that person and you'll do whatever it takes to just get them to leave you alone? Well, she didn't leave me alone. She did what I did to the other lady and just kept trying to tell me and talk to me. And eventually I broke and I said, you know what, I'm sorry, I've been trying to sabotage this relationship. Maybe we're not going to be besties, BFFs, best friends, whatever, but I'll listen to you because you really hurt me and let's talk it out. And it's a miracle that we're actually still friends this day. And I feel like God used that to show me you can be the perfect Christian. You can do everything legalistically perfect. You can read the word. You can, you know, ask people for their forgiveness. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And if you do your part and that person doesn't do their part, you're off the hook. And I think sometimes people get forgiveness and reconciliation mixed up. So if you ask someone for their forgiveness and they say, sure, I'll, you know, if they're a close friend or family member or coworker or whoever, and they accept, that's the first part. Maybe if, like, my coworker, I'm not going to be reconciled to that person. Like, after that happened, we never talked again. I got a new job as quickly as possible. But I forgave him. It took me a really long time, but I forgave him. And I think sometimes as Christians, we think we have to be perfect. We have to do everything the right way. And we have to be reconciled with them. And it's in our power to do all of that. And I think sometimes we don't leave room for God. And we just keep going and thinking that it's all our responsibility. And so if there's anything that I can leave you with today, it's that there is a difference. And I don't want you to put yourself in a situation that's harmful. It is okay to have boundaries. You know, sometimes asking for forgiveness is reporting that person to the police or doing something that is safe. Because again, there's so many situations in the church where abuse happens or where, like, hurt within, like, leadership, you get hurt by someone in the church and you just think, well, because I'm a good Christian, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm just going to forgive them. Or if a family member has done anything to hurt you. And I didn't necessarily have that, but like I said, it was my health issues, and it was just me going, God, I need to forgive myself. And so presently, I wanted to read this story from page 31. This is something that kind of took me a while to get to that point. And it says, forgiveness is personal. It can feel like you're ripping your own heart out of your chest. Even the thought of it can make you anxious. And if you're anything like me, anxiety is your spiritual barometer. It makes you ask questions. Questions like, are you living the way that you should? Can you stop blaming others, even if it's not your fault? Are you doing to others as you wish them to do to you? Are you really? And if you can answer these questions truthfully, without the whisper of the Holy Spirit pointing to the facts that you'd rather ignore, Solomon wrote, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. So the question you need to be asking yourself is, what lie or lies am I currently believing? You see, the problem isn't with God or the person who hurt you. It's you. It's me. Ask God to expose each and every painful lie you believed. So you can confess your sins and be forgiven. God is love. He wants you to be set free. He wants to help you control the only thing, well, person, really, who can change your circumstances, and that's yourself. Don't expect it to be an easy process. Exposing lies is extremely painful, and our hearts can't always be trusted. As the prophet Jeremiah writes, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? No matter how painful or how ugly you feel for being exposed, or how mad you are at God for allowing your heart to break, know that there is healing. If you remember only two things, let it be, first, that he disciplines those he loves, and second, he only prunes parts of us so that we can bear even more fruit. And that's something, oh yeah, I'm like sweating, I'm so nervous. This is just something that has really, like, affected me for a really long time. And, oh, I also wrote something. If you guys have pens, I wanted to give you, like, a something to leave with. It's from page 49, and it's the acrostic. And normally I'm not one of those like cliche, oh, here's four steps to overcome something, because you can't do that with forgiveness. I can't tell you, okay, step one, do this. Step two, do that, and you'll be totally fine, and all your relationships will be solved. So if you want to remember this, I know that this can help. So the acrostic is Christ, not cliche, but the one person we can go to for all our relationships. So C for Christ is comfort. And the verse is 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 7. So for the comfort part, I write, believe it or not, God does comfort us in our trials. So I want you to know, if you're struggling with unforgiveness towards other people or yourself, there is comfort for you. And H stands for hope. And the verse is Hebrews 6, 19. And I wrote, it's easy to lose hope, but we have an anchor for our souls. And I think it's really interesting, because as I was writing this book, I've never really struggled with hope before. I'm a pretty positive person in the sense that I've overcome a lot. So it really takes a lot for me to lose hope. And I was surprised at how depressed I had become, even to the point where I had to go back to my counselors, go back to the psychologist, go back to the psychiatrist, and get on Lexapro. I struggle with anxiety, and it's been something I've struggled with since junior high. And I realized that there's part of me that can be hopeful in Christ, but then there's another part of me that can take responsibility for my health. Yeah, I mean, I can pray and I can pray and I can pray, but if I'm not being healthy, like last year, which again, I'm so glad God gave me that break so that I didn't have the spotlight of any kind on me, so that I could find not only hope in Christ again, but just taking responsibility for my health and not being ashamed to say, I struggle with anxiety. I have all my life. I think I'm going to get help for it. So hope is really important. And the R stands for redemption. And the verse is Ephesians 1, 7. And I wrote for redemption, it is finished. Woohoo! We are forgiven by his blood alone. You know, there's hope. Sometimes you can do all the wrong things, and for whatever reason, that relationship is redeemed. And you're just looking at yourself like, wow, I did everything in my power to not let that relationship be redeemed. Praise God. And the I stands for initiative. And this is something that I think I struggle with. And the verse is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I wrote, it's not up to us to be saved. It is by his grace alone. And I don't know if you're one of those women. I recently blogged about, I'm a fix-it person. I don't like how they stereotype guys as being the fixer in the relationship. When it comes to my husband and I, if something goes wrong, I'm like, I want to fix it. Let's fix it now. Let's do it. And he's more like, calm down, Renee. It's going to be okay. Calm down. And I just wrote, you know, I know a lot of really powerful women and a lot of women who are very creative. And I'm tired of like trying to hide the fact that I'm a fixer and that I need God's help to not initiate everything. And sometimes it's not up to me to fix everything immediately. Sometimes, okay, a lot of the times I'm just supposed to let God fix it and then realize, wow, that was a lot. Why do I do this? And the S for Christ is spoken for. And the verse is Romans 8, 26 through 27. And I wrote, the Holy Spirit helps us forgive when we can't. I'm really, really glad that moving a step forward into fixing it, God can say, I got this. You're spoken for. Sit down. Okay. And the T stands for trust. And the verse is Philippians 4, 19. And I wrote, you can trust him for every single need. Follow him today. And, okay, I'm not a Bible scholar, but there is a story that I wanted to share, because as I was doing research, not just sharing my own story, but as I wanted to share some stories from the Bible that had actually encouraged me through my own journey of forgiving myself. I'm sure you can recognize this, but I identify most with Peter. He had that foot and mouth disease. He just said what he felt. He was a heart guy. If you wanted to know what he was thinking, just ask him. That's me too. And I love that I did some research on this because I want you to know that there's actually three different kinds of love. In the English language, we say, I love you to a friend. I love you to the kids. In my case, it's my dog. I love you to my husband, but they all mean different things. So I'll read this. It says, before his crucifixion, Jesus warned Peter that he would one day deny him. Peter was horrified at the idea. No way, he said. I'll never deny you. But then he did. He denied that he had ever known Jesus 3 times. Ouch. Never make a deal that you can't keep. Peter broke his word even after God gave him a warning. How do you make sense of that? But the story's not over. I love what happens later. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he was eating and chilling with his disciples. He took Peter aside during breakfast and asked him a really tough question. He said, "Do you love me?" Now, unfortunately, we only have one word for love in the English language. In Greek, there are 3. The first is eros, E-R-O-S, which means romance or sexual love. The second one, phileo, P-H-L-E-O, if you're writing these down, means a brotherly love. It suggests deep affection, like you have for your closest friends. And agape, I'm sure you've heard of that, A-G-A-P-E. Agape love is the strongest of all. It can't be earned, but can only be freely given. It's a love that comes without expectations. This is the kind of love Christ showed for us when he died on the cross. When Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, he was talking about agape, the granddaddy of all love. Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Sounds pretty good and nice, but they're not talking about the same thing. Jesus is asking, "Do you agape me?" And Peter responds, "I phileo you." He's basically saying, "I heart you, friend." Jesus asks one more time, but this time he changes it up. "Peter, do you phileo me?" He says, "Do you heart me, friend?" Oh, that's the 3rd time, sorry. And Peter says, "Yes." I love how God knows how much we fail and screw up miserably. And yet, he sees us in our pain and meets us where we are. He wants and tries for the best in each one of us. He knows us personally enough to know when we're not giving it our all, or when we're not even capable of loving. What a fantastic day of questions for Peter and Jesus. I'm sure they both went away thinking, "Oh, that's a good place to start." So for the future fears part, so I shared a little bit about the past, about my story, and then present circumstances about relationships and how do we love people. And so for the future, you know, oftentimes as women, we can throw around things like, "Well, she's catty," or "I'd rather be friends with just my husband or my kids," or I don't even know why I come to these meetings or whatever. And I just kind of want to encourage you that there's always a good place to start. And sometimes, like last year, I just let my friends know I'm not really in the best of places right now. So what I can give you isn't agape. It's more of phileo. It's more like brotherly love. And I need to kind of keep some distance here so that the phrase hurt people. I think sometimes if we can take the initiative and forgiveness to say, "I'll do my part and I'll let you know," with Peter, like Peter, that maybe this isn't my best day, maybe I'm in a bad season, maybe this season has been lasting for years, or maybe like me, maybe you're taking medication because this season is really hard for you. I want you to know that you're not alone. And going into the future with fear is not the best situation. And forgiveness really is a gift. And I'll share one more story about my mom and the reason why our relationship was strained. She watched her mother die of cancer when she was only 24, before she met my dad. And her mom's mom passed away when she was only 16. So she was very natural medicine minded. And one of the reasons why my skin got so bad is because she was taking me to a naturopath or a homeopathic doctor. And their philosophy was, with eczema, let's bring it up and out, right? Like, we're going to cure you. You're going to be whole. And unfortunately, If you bring it up and out, it just keeps spreading. And when I ended up in the hospital, the doctors were like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to treat it that way. And I was 15, right? So they're asking my mom this. And the more I came around to realizing the person I trust the most can't be trusted, it took us if we get on the topic of health, okay, I love you, but I disagree with you. Can we be okay to disagree? You know how many years it's taken us to get to that point just to say, I agree to disagree. And I didn't know how much guilt my mom carried for years on what happened to me, because she had gone through her own expectations that medical doctors didn't help her mom. So she thought she was doing me a benefit and a favor of taking me to someone who could cure me, right? And let's say it did, but for whatever reason, God didn't allow that. He wanted this to be a part of my story so that today, or whenever I get a chance to share my story, I could say, sometimes forgiveness and forgiving yourself involves forgiving God, but God doesn't need our forgiveness. I think that was just something I had to come to the point and say, God, I don't know why you allowed me to go through this. I don't know why this is part of my story. I don't know why I had to be homeschooled for years. I don't know why I had to finish high school almost late because I couldn't even go to school my junior year because of my skin issues. I don't know why. And I just want to encourage you, because I feel like each and every one of us can carry these burdens that we're not meant to carry. And when it comes to a relationship like my mom, God eventually healed that relationship. And it was really awesome over time for me to realize I need to give my mom the gift of forgiveness, because it honestly wasn't her fault. God could have stepped in at any time and said, be healed. Or the medicine could have actually worked. Or you can't live in the future with what ifs. Well, what if I would have done this? Maybe my future would look differently today. Well, you know, and you just keep going back and forth and being just torn. And so I wanted to leave you with that story, because I write later in my book about how giving the gift of forgiveness actually healed my mom and her emotions. And I didn't even know it until I sat down with her and I said, Mom, I don't know why our relationship is so strained, but I just want to let you know that I don't hold any of that against you. I know when I was younger I did, but now that I'm older and I can see the fruit of what God wanted me to go through, and the fact that I do hate math and I love writing, and I don't think I would have ever known about that unless, like, God just put my feet to the fire, like, literally. And I'll never forget it, because she is so much lighter. You know, like when you give someone the gift of forgiveness, like they're like joyful, and they look at you and like tears streaming down her face, like, thank you. And I didn't realize that forgiveness is a gift, I wish I wouldn't have waited that long to give it to her. I didn't even know. And so maybe in the future, like I'm an artsy, creative kind of person. Maybe this can encourage you, because forgiveness is such a deep thing. Maybe like get an empty box or something, put a white rose or something, and like actually wrap it up. Like motivate yourself to be like, I can forgive this person. I can talk to this person, even though they really hurt me. And maybe just meet with them and say, I'm actually giving you this gift, and this is something that I feel like I'm supposed to give you, even though I have no idea how the reconciliation, right? Because forgiveness is one thing and reconciliation is another. So again, a creative way to say, I'm giving you this gift. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I want to let you know that I forgive you. Or maybe you need to give it to yourself. You know, maybe there's something from your past that nobody knows. And I know this is just the second week, and I'm actually really glad that I get to kind of like kick off some deeper stuff. And so I just really hope that maybe this can help set the tone for this season, because like you don't need to wait to give the gift of forgiveness. You don't need to wait to give it to yourself or to someone else. And going deeper is awesome, and it's super painful, but the fact that when God, like 5 years ago, said, I want you to quit your job and become a writer, and I thought, wow, I'm going to be living with my parents for the rest of my life. And then God brought my husband into my life. I had been single almost my entire 20s. And I thought I would be single forever because I still believe that 15-year-old self that I'm fat, I'm ugly, I have this awesome story, right? But that disqualifies me from being like an awesome wife or beautiful or, and it was really cool how through this book, I was actually on my honeymoon, newly, like the first year of marriage when I finished this book, and I actually emailed my editor and said, I can't write this book. I'm really happy right now. And you have to be like really depressed and angry, right? When you write about forgiveness, like, wait, what? And I actually asked them to switch contracts. And they came back and said, no. And I'm really glad because for the first time in my life, I saw I had actually healed. Like I had actually gotten to the point where I didn't have anyone that I was upset at. I wasn't holding unforgiveness towards anyone. And God had redeemed a huge part of my story, which is being married. Like that was the one prayer request I'd had my whole life. Like I was always that single girl that was like, hi, and, you know, which is probably why I was single for so long. They're like, oh no, it's Renee, run away. But we actually met at a small group at North Coast Church in Vista. I don't know if you've heard of that, but he actually came to my house. Like my mom had always preached, told whatever, don't go online, don't search for him, like God will bring him to you. And I'm like, do you even know me? I'm like Miss Risk Taker, like I'm gonna go find him. Yeah, that never worked. And he actually came to my parents' house when I had moved back in, quit my job, started writing books, and it was so amazing to see that God, one, answers prayer, and he can heal my relationship with my mom, and then he can also bring me to a place where I see, wow, forgiveness doesn't affect me anymore, even to the point where I'm struggling to write the words because, like, emotionally, I'm not there anymore. Oh, thank God. So that's my prayer for your guys' future, right? Like, there's things that you can work on from your past, from the relationships. Maybe there's some situations right now that may or may not change, and you're wanting prayer for that. But for the future, you have no idea what God can do tomorrow, who he's going to bring into your life, like literally to your front door. Or maybe, you know, you're in a career and God's like, actually, instead of math, let's try English. Let's try writing. I mean, you just never know how God's going to weave together this tale of whole forgiveness because he loves you that much and because he actually cares about you. Jesus agape you. Wait, Jesus loves you. And not in a like, hey bro, I heart you friend. It's like, no, I actually love you with so much love that I'll spend the rest of your life proving it to you. And I think it's really cool that God went out of his way multiple times. Even the first time I wrote this book, I handed it into my publisher. And on that same day, that publisher said, oh, we're canceling your contract. This was 4 years ago. And I thought that was my one big break, right? And I think it's really interesting that this is one of the later books that I've published because God was still working that in me. And then the second publisher, it released, and I was afraid. I'm like, please don't cancel my, and they're like, why would we do that? I'm like, well, NavPress did, and here's Harvest House. But then once it released, 2 years later, they said, we don't want to publish with you anymore. And that's why last year was so hard for me, because for whatever reason, God just keeps like this hammer. And he's like, hey, Peter, Renee, get it into your head. Like, I want to take time with you to teach you how to forgive yourself. And the fact that I'm standing here a year later as my first time, just completely enamored at the fact that I could keep sharing stories, right? And they're all in the book, but I really do love this topic, and I don't want you to leave with this impression that it could take years, because not every scenario does. But the fact that I found hope again, even though I'm a Christian, right? Like, you can be a Christian and lose your hope. That happens all the time. I'm just rambling because I'm excited. So I'll just end with the fact that forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is the key, and I really hope that you don't wait as long as I did to give it to someone else, even if it's yourself. So, thank you.
Thank you so much, Renee, for joining us and talking about forgiveness. Oh. We do have something for you.
Great.
And what I wanted to let you all know is that Renee will also be over here for a little while selling not only her book about forgiveness, but a few others as well.